Then was Jesus led up of the devil, or led up of the Spirit, into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. We are true that the Spirit of God did lead Jesus forth from the time that he was baptized to fulfill all righteousness to a place where he would stand the test. You know, it's interesting to me to note that the baptism of Christ is true indication that he's about ready to begin his personal ministry. But before he began that personal ministry, he was certainly put to a test. And we want to look at that test on the broadcast today that's found in the 4th chapter of Matthew. We'll give you time to find that location, and while you're finding it, if you care to do so, keep in mind that this broadcast is brought to you by your friend and neighbors of the Church of Christ, having a sincere desire to offer the truth without addition, subtraction, or alteration. You see, this broadcast is brought to you without cost or obligation. We do not solicit funds on the air. It is sponsored by our congregation of the Lord's Church. And our responsibility in this broadcast is as an evangelist to simply proclaim the gospel. It's not my broadcast. It's not a substitute for church attendance. It simply is a spiritual assistant to help you and your family come to know more about God's divine word. So the point is that this is a broadcast of the church. We are speaking to you just as though we were in the church building, where the congregation meets that brings you this broadcast, and we're proclaiming the gospel. Our subject as we take a look at the Bible today is simply the temptation of Christ. And again, I want to go to the first verse of that fourth chapter, where Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted for a period of 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. As the chapter unfolds, we see the same three forms of temptation being used by the devil on Jesus that he used on Adam and Eve in the garden, namely the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. You'll find them mentioned by the Apostle John in 1 John, the second chapter. No doubt you've read 1 John, the second chapter, 15 through the 17th verses, and you've noticed there that he tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. He tells us all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. It's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And then he tells us these lusts will pass away, but he that doeth the will of the Father will abide forever. You're going to be put to the test. I'm going to be put to the test time and time again. James told us this as he was inspired of God, as he wrote in the first chapter of James in verse 12, when he said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. So Jesus was tried before he actually began his personal ministry. We're going to be tried time and time again as we attempt to serve him. You may find yourself, as we talk to you today, away from the Lord Jesus Christ. You may say, well, I'm sure that I haven't overcome many temptations. This can be a benefit to you then on the broadcast, and we hope you continue to listen for this short quarter hour. And it can be a benefit to those of you, if you're newborn babes in Christ, if you've been living and serving the Lord for a number of years, it'll tell you the key to overcoming the temptation of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. The first temptation apparently was the lust of the flesh. And Jesus was confronted here at a weakened state by the devil trying to hit a spot where he would be vulnerable. You know, that's why Paul in the 6th chapter of Ephesians, in talking about the whole armor of God, he said, you put it on. Don't give place to the devil. Don't leave a spot uncovered, because that's the spot that he will hit. Well, the devil comes to him as a tempter and says, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now, Jesus was hungry. He hadn't had anything to eat for 40 days and 40 nights. Keep in mind that he was the Son of God. He was divine, but he was also human. Paul, in writing about the human side of Christ in Romans 1 and 3 in that salutation, said, according to the flesh, he was of the seed of David. So he came into this world. It was a conception of the Holy Spirit. But as Paul said in the second chapter of Philippians, he took upon him the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. So Christ was hungry. We're aware of the fact that the tempter simply said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now, I'm led to believe that the devil knew that he was the Son of God. During Jesus' personal ministry, you perhaps have read in the gospel accounts how that when Jesus came across the Sea of Galilee and found the man who was possessed with a legion of devils. The devils, not the man, spoke. And the devil said, "We know who you are. Have you come to torment us before our time?" Now the devil knew that Jesus was the Son of God. But he hit the fundamental fact of the Bible, if you be the Son of God. You see, the religion of Jesus Christ stands or falls upon the foundation that Christ is the Son of God. If this statement be true, then there's an opportunity for forgiveness of sins and an opportunity to live for him. If Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, then he becomes an imposter. And what salvation could there be in an imposter, even in the death of an imposter? So the devil went right at the heart of the whole thing, meeting Jesus head on, and said, "Now if you're the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Now someone says, "Well, preacher, how do you answer the devil?" Don't answer him in an unskillful manner, for he is wise, he is deceitful. He's as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Stay with the Word of God. That's what Jesus did. Listen to Matthew 4 and 4. Here's the answer of Jesus. "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And of course, Peter later said in 1 Peter 4 and 11, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God." So Jesus stayed with the Bible. Now to live a spotless life upon this earth as he did, he saw the importance of staying with the Word of God. With all of our sins and shortcomings, is it not a commendable thing to suggest to you and to myself from the Bible that we stay with the Word of God? Well, you see, the devil was foiled then with the lust of the flesh, but he doesn't stop. Verse 5, "Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple." That was a high place, probably the highest place associated with the temple, maybe even adjoining a part of the temple. Well, when the devil took him up there, he simply came at him again from the same standpoint by saying, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down." And then is it strange to you that the devil, with all his deception, with all his craftiness, saw that the Word of God could be used, he thought, to his purpose? In the 91st Psalm, from whence the devil quoted, we have a psalm dealing with the happy state of the godly. I want to show you how the devil twisted this scripture. From Psalms 91, the devil simply answered to Jesus, it is written, "He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." The devil quoting the Bible or trying to quote it. You know, this indicates to me that regardless of how honest we may be, and regardless of how honest others may be who talk to us, let's keep this thought in mind, that one who quotes the Bible does not always quote the Bible according to what it means. When Jesus answered the devil, he gave us an indication that he realized the devil was perverting the scripture. For in verse 7, Jesus said, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." So since Jesus looked upon this pride of life temptation as attempting the Lord God of heaven, that there must have been a discrepancy here in what the devil had presented. When you read that 91st Psalm, you'll find that the happy state of the godly was not to tempt God. He did care for his children. He did care for them, but truly not from the standpoint of tempting God. I'm wondering as I look about me in the world today, how many times in the so-called daring feats that people are tempting God. You stop and think about this the next time you see something that seems to be sensational, that seems to be a death-daring act. It could be an act of tempting God. But you see, when Jesus answered with the scripture again, once again from the book of Deuteronomy, the law under which he lived, the devil was stopped cold. If Christ could do this by the use of the scripture, is it not something for you to consider, something for me to consider? Well, the devil has used the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. Now he has the lust of the eye. And I want you to see with me on the broadcast today how crafty the devil really is. Listen now, beginning at verse 8. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And notice how easy he made it. And he said unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Can't you see how simple the devil was making this? But can't you see as you look at it how insidious it is? How did Jesus handle this? Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, he's with the Bible yet, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. You know, I was reading this one night at a late hour, and I thought, well, of course, I can see what the devil was doing. He was trying to get Jesus to openly violate the law under which he lived. You see, if Christ had fallen down to worship the devil, he would have been guilty of idolatry. The Ten Commandment, one of the commandments said, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And Jesus would have openly violated the law under which he lived. But he told the devil to leave him. It is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. The temptation is a glorious story. Read it in the 4th chapter of Matthew. Apply it to your life today. If you're not a Christian, obey the gospel. Hear the word, believe it, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ, that you believe he is the Son of God, and follow that with baptism for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ. As we come to the close of this broadcast today, we're continuing on with the same thought of taking a look at the Bible. I trust that you will assess the temptations that are about you today, and your answer will be with the Thus saith the Lord. He is a strong tower. He will sustain you. He will keep you. May God bless us as we read his word and as we obey it.